Now today, we are continuing our discussion of Israel's great feast. Last week, we discussed the Feast of Unleavened Bread, sometimes called the Passover, and the Feast of First Fruits. Now, this never happens, but it has. Okay, this is the one time in the history of my pastorate that it has occurred. Okay, I have made an error. And Lois didn't even catch it. I actually got away with a mistake. And it managed to filter down into your exegetical notes. So before I can move into the text and talk about the new feast, I have to just sort of correct the problem in your exegetical notes. Now we'll start by seeing how smart you are. Who of you found the mistake in your exegetical notes? Well, I didn't find it until this morning when I looked over the exegetical notes. In your exegetical notes, it says that the Feast of First Fruits occurred 49 days, 50 days after Passover. That is not true. Okay. The Feast of First Fruits occurs on the Monday following the last, or the Sunday rather, following the last day of Passover. It is, in essence, the conclusion of the Passover feast. So you need to correct your notes. Okay, it shouldn't say that first fruits happens on the Sunday that comes with the beginning of the Feast of Weeks. It should say that it is the feast which concludes the Feast of Passover. Okay, got it? I fixed the mistake, right? Okay, won't ever happen again. You don't even have to worry about it. Now, today, we're not really talking about first fruits, although we are kind of talking about first fruits, but today we're talking about the Feast of Weeks. It is so called because it occurred 7 weeks after the Feast of First Fruits. You got that? Okay, now follow the order. It really is important. It's a lovely picture to see, and I don't want you to miss it, but you have to understand, we go through the 7 days of Passover. And then on the eighth day, which will be a Sunday, we have the first fruits, the Feast of First Fruits. And then we count off 7 full weeks. So we end up being out in time, okay, on a Sunday. Because it's full weeks, it has to end up falling on the same day as the Feast of First Fruits. So the Jews called it the Feast of Weeks. Have you got it now? Okay. All right. Now, you got to go back with me just a minute to first fruits. Okay. The Passover is the celebration of the Lord's salvation. He sends the blood of the lamb, puts the blood of the lamb, has them put it over the lamb, over the doors of their houses so that when the angel of death passes through, they are saved from death. It is the story of salvation. The lamb is the picture of Jesus Christ who died. Okay, so we go through the celebration of Passover, which is equivalent to the celebration of Easter, and then we celebrate the Feast of First Fruits. Now, the Jews believe the Feast of First Fruits is celebrated because it is the beginning of the harvest season. So they take the first of the barley harvest, and the priest waves it before the Lord, and they are giving thanks for an abundant harvest, which is yet to occur. Okay, you ready? But guess what happened on the Sunday following the celebration of Passover? Jesus Christ, who is described in the New Testament as the first fruits from the dead, arose. Okay, now I had to tell you, that just makes the hair go up on the back of my head. I get all tingly inside because God, centuries before the actual event, is painting the picture. He's setting up the sequence of events so that when we look back in time, we say, oh my goodness, after the salvation of the Lord, the sacrifice of the Lamb, comes the first fruits, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay, is that not cool? I mean, doesn't it make you go, oh boy. Now, it happened on Sunday, that is the Feast of Weeks. And in the passage which discusses the Feast of Weeks in Exodus and Leviticus, we're told that on that day, the high priest, This is the beginning of the Feast of Weeks. The high priest lifted up two loaves of bread before Yahweh. Now, the loaves of bread, according to the discussion in Exodus and Leviticus, are made from finely ground flour. Now, in the Bible, when it talks about finely ground flour, it's talking about superlative flour, the best flour, not flour that you would use for ordinary things, but special flour. I don't know what it is, but I know sometimes when you go, you see there's regular bread flour and then there's cake flour. And my understanding is the cake flour is more finely ground. Am I right? Bakers? Yeah. Okay. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about this extra special, very fine flour, the best flour. And the loaves were baked with yeast. Now, often when Israel celebrates special feast, yeast is removed from the bread because yeast is the symbol of sin. But in the case of these two loaves of bread made with the finest flour, the yeast is deliberately, by order of God, put in the bread, and yet it remains a symbol of sin. To Israel, this was the thank you offering made to God for the completion of the harvest. Because 7 weeks ago, the first fruits, they celebrate at the beginning of the harvest by saying, we're trusting you to give us one. Now that God has given us a good harvest, they're saying thank you to him. And the way they're saying thank you to him is by presenting to God these two fine loaves of bread, thanking God for the bounty of the harvest. But 2,000 years later, in the planning of God, the meaning of the Feast of Weeks is explained. The explanation is not recorded in the Old Testament as all is recorded in the New Testament in the book of Acts, chapter 2. It was the day of Pentecost. Now, where it gets confusing is that Pentecost is the other name for the Feast of Weeks. And it's called Pentecost because it comes 50 days after the conclusion of Passover, and the word pente in Greek means 50. So Pentecost, 50 days later, we celebrate the thing. So 50 days after the closing of Passover, 49 days after the celebration of the Feast of First Fruits, we celebrate the Feast of Weeks, or Passover. The great sacrifice in Acts chapter 2, the great sacrifice Jesus Christ had been offered at the conclusion of Passover. And he had risen from the dead at the Feast of First Weeks, or First Fruits. Now, it was the day when the loaves were lifted before God, the beginning of the Feast of Weeks. That day, the disciples were gathered in an upper room somewhere in Jerusalem. Suddenly, they heard the sound of a rushing wind. For that day, the Holy Spirit filled the believers with power to witness and to serve. Now, that day, in the great temple in Jerusalem, the two loaves were lifted before God. One loaf representing the community of Jewish Christians. The second loaf representing the community of Gentile Christians. The Jewish and the Gentile church held before God in the hands of the high priest. The loaves were made from finely ground flour, the best flour, offered to God, but mixed with yeast or leaven, the symbol of sin. Because the church as we know it is not yet perfected. Because we are not yet perfected. And the church will remain imperfect until the day Jesus returns and sets us free from our bondage to sin. Those two loaves lifted in the hand of the high priest on the day of Pentecost for the church, the Feast of Weeks for the Jewish community, represent the whole people of God lifted up to the Father. Now, it's a beautiful image to me. I love it. But there are lessons, remarkable lessons in this text for us, and we have to consider them. The first lesson is this. Jesus himself said, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The quote is found in John chapter 12, verse 24. Jesus was, of course, speaking about himself. He compared himself to a grain of wheat which falls to the ground and dies. Literally, is planted. If you want, was buried. He was the first fruits. The Feast of Weeks was for Israel the celebration of the wheat harvest. The seed had been planted. It had fallen to the earth. It had died, in essence, and was buried. And now it had risen, grown, producing in its place not one seed, but many seeds. This is what the Feast of Pentecost proclaims to us today. Jesus, our seed, the first fruits of all who fall asleep in death, Jesus has died. And in his death, he has called all men to his side. The single seed which fell to the earth and died has produced abundance. We are the evidence of the product, the abundance of that life which was ended and returned. Lesson number two, the two parts of the church are one. Even today, the church is divided into two parts. There is the Jewish part, which embraces Jesus Christ and claims him as Messiah. And there is the Christian part, those of us who have come out of the Gentile world, who have been grafted into the trunk of the tree of Israel and are now, by adoption, brothers and sisters with all Israel. Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, is the declaration of our unity. For the two loaves are lifted before the Father in joyous celebration to remind us that we are not Jewish and Christian. We are together the church, brothers and sisters before our Father in heaven. And lesson number three, as bread is the food that empowers the body, so the Holy Spirit is the food that empowers the church. The source of our unity, the source of our power, is the Holy Spirit of God. Without the Holy Spirit, there can be no proper working in the church. But with the Holy Spirit, we are enabled individually and together, we are enabled to do everything that God calls us to do. Nothing is impossible if God is for us and the Holy Spirit is with us. Lesson number four. On this day, during the Feast of the Weeks, during those days, Israel offered 13 animal sacrifices. I got to tell you, as we read through the Feast of Israel, I am overwhelmed by how bloody they were. Sacrifice upon sacrifice, day after day, the priests were up to their knees in blood. But since Jesus has been sacrificed, no other sacrifice is needed. And God proclaimed it so. For 2,000 years ago, he shut down the temple. And the system of sacrifice has not yet been reestablished. Jesus, the great sacrifice, has been offered. Now I hope that you can see the lovely picture which God painted so long ago in Israel's misunderstood feast. Can I just be really honest with you? It bothers me when we Christians want to celebrate the Jewish meaning of Israel's feast and not include the fulfillment of the feast, which is found in Jesus. They are made perfect, not in their embryonic Jewish profession, but in their completed profession in Jesus Christ. For the what meaning is the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of First Fruits unless you hear Jesus saying that he is the first fruits? And you begin to say, oh my goodness, wait a minute, he's talking about things that were written long ago but not fully understood. See, the Feast of Weeks is really not about the wheat harvest. It is about the seed that fell to the ground and died. And that seed is Jesus Christ. The seed which make the people of God one, and through the gift of the Holy Spirit empowers us to serve. It's not about lambs and blood and barley harvest and wheat harvest. It is about Jesus Christ, who is the first fruits. It is about the coming of the Holy Spirit, which empowers the church and unites the body of Christ. And our celebration of the great feast of Israel is only complete when we declare the truth: Jesus Christ was the last, the great, the final sacrifice. Amen.